Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Dear Father, we pray that you would keep your promise this morning to accompany your word so that it will accomplish what you want it to accomplish, to convict us and to comfort us. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's funny, isn't it, how a person's name can become associated with greatness sometimes? In my high school class, there was a young man named Mark, and his name was associated with greatness. He was sort of acknowledged to be the top dog in our high school. First off, he was directly related to the principal chief of the Cherokee Nation. Now, this was in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and that was the capital of the Cherokee Nation. And became quarterback on our football team, ran the quarter mile and track and went to state. And he was a starter on our basketball team. And to top all that off, he was a great student and made A's in his classes. His name was associated with greatness. And we tend to do that oftentimes, don't we? Associate someone with greatness so that their names are forever, forever in our minds. When we think of them, we think, oh, we sort of stand in awe of that person. I wonder, does God do the same thing? Let's listen to our lesson for this morning, shall we? Found in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We have lots of names that we will sort of exalt in our minds. Sometimes they're athletes, sometimes they're musicians, sometimes they're presidents or other politicians, sometimes they're great scientists. But God, the Bible says, is no respecter of persons. That ought to be a great comfort to you. God is no respecter of persons. That means he does not favor one person above another. Well, except for one that we just read about in our text. But he favors no one above another. He cares for no one more than he does another. Guides, protects, and loves no one more than another. And that means that he favors no one more than he does you. Not even a great Christian does he favor more than he does you. Loves you just as much as he does them, or him or her. Cares for you just as much as he does for that great Christian. But there is one person that he does exalt, and we just read about him, and we said, in fact, as we read along, his name was Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. Now, I thought that Jesus was God from all eternity. Now, if he is already God, how can you exalt his name above every name? His name's already exalted. So how can you do that? How can God exalt God any more than he already is? He's God the Son. Well, that's true. He can't be exalted any higher than he already is. But you see, Jesus, though he was God from all eternity, about just a little over 2,000 years ago, became a human being. Became a man. And that leads us back to that first word of our lesson. Therefore. Therefore, God has highly exalted him. Therefore. Of course, we want to ask, what's the therefore, therefore? And it points back to the preceding verse. And you know what that preceding verse says, verse 8? It says this. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him and gave him the name that's above every name. Therefore, God exalted him. Because he was obedient to death on a cross, God exalted him. But it still doesn't answer our question, how could he be exalted? Well, God can't be exalted any higher than he already is, but human beings can. And it was that humanity of Jesus, his human nature, that's what was exalted from being an obedient servant, really a slave, to the right hand of God. That's what was exalted. Now, we would be remiss to not ask the question, why? Not why was he exalted, because verse 9 answers that. Well, verse 8 and 9. But to ask, then, why the humiliation? Why the obedience unto death? Why the death on a cross? That's the why we want to ask. And, well, it's because there was an issue that came up before God, an issue of sin. Your sin, mine too. That was the issue that came up before God. And I wonder, if you take seriously your sin as seriously as God does. I think sometimes we don't take it very seriously, do we? I was driving through Illinois one time, and I was driving through a little town, and I was looking intently for a stop sign. For an intersection. And I knew it was there somewhere about an eighth of a mile ahead. So I slowed way down, and I was intently looking, and I could see no sign. Didn't know where the road was. And so I was so looking ahead of me so intently, I drove right through a stop sign that was right directly in front of me. And, of course, about 200 feet to the right of me was a policeman sitting there. And he saw the whole thing. He saw me drive right through that stop sign. And after about 15 seconds, here are these lights. I see these lights behind me. I didn't even know why I was being stopped because I never saw the stop sign. once he stopped me and he told me what I'd done, I thought to myself, well, I was only going about 15 miles an hour. He's surely not gonna give me a ticket. He's got to just give me a warning for this. I was wrong about that man. He gave me a ticket with a hefty fine. He took that little infraction a lot more seriously than I did. And I think oftentimes that we think God really isn't concerned about our little infractions, about our thoughts maybe, or that I lost my temper, or that I took his name in vain the other day. And we think he's not concerned about those things, but we're mistaken to think that. Any one of those things is enough to condemn us from an eternity away from him forever, right? He is concerned about those sins. And it was his concern that caused Jesus to become a man, to humble himself and become obedient to death, even death on a cross. Hell is a steep fine to pay, but Jesus paid it on that cross. And as he bled his blood out on that cross, he was paying your fine to God. He was paying mine too. You say, well, I think maybe he paid for your fine. I don't know if he paid for mine. Mine, you don't know what I've done. Well, I don't have to know what you've done, because that blood is omnipotent that he shed. That's the blood of omnipotence. It covers every sin, covers everything. There is not a sin that you've ever committed that is bigger than that blood. He's paid it all. It says he died once for all. That includes you. And so that is why God exalted his name above every name. And that is why you and I should exalt his name too. Would you please bow your head with me. Almighty God, give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness and put upon ourselves the armor of light, now in the time of this mortal life, in which your Son Jesus came to visit us in great humility, so that in the last day when he comes again, we may rise to life immortal. Grant that through Jesus, our Savior. Amen.